Coming up next on A Daily Walk.
There are times when I need assurance that only God himself can provide. No human voice can speak to me in that moment. I need the still small voice of the Holy Spirit ministering to me in a way that only God can. Only Jesus is greater than any trial that we face, and thus we need to hear from him. Thankfully, this morning, there are blessings that belong to the child of God that can never be taken away.
Have you ever noticed a note, email, or text of encouragement right in the midst of great suffering? A well-spoken word at just the right time can go a long way. And that's what we find in the Epistle of 1 Peter. It was written to Christians who were unjustly persecuted and encountering fiery trials. We can benefit from the letter too and receive God's encouragement and instruction for the difficult seasons of life. Today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Rendell speaks of a living hope. It belongs to you if you're a believer in Christ, and it cannot be taken away.
1 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this living hope that we have through Jesus Christ. And we ask this morning that you would help us to see this in greater light, Lord, what we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Peter was writing to a group of people that were suffering through severe trials, hardship, pain. It had come in the form of persecution. As a result, many members of the church had been scattered. They were hurting. They had been scattered into all different regions of Asia Minor, and many of them had questions. God, why is this happening? Lord, what is to come of this? What is the result of this? Why is this taking place? Their faith was being severely tested. If you've ever been in a season of suffering, if you've ever gone through some testing of your own faith, you know that it's possible to lose perspective. You know that it's difficult in those times, and sometimes you don't even know which way is up. You don't know, Lord, is this you? Is this me? Is this the enemy? What is this that's going on? We need perspective lest we lose our focus. We need an anchor for our souls lest we drift away on this sea of sorrow. We need a solid foundation to stand on lest we lose our footing and stumble and do not recover. We need encouragement in those seasons that no human being can provide. Have you ever gone through a time of testing and someone came, a well-meaning person, came alongside of you and said those wonderful words, I know how you feel. You ever had that? And you thought to yourself, no, you don't. You know, sometimes it's best not to say that when you really don't know what, or this one, I know what you're going through. No, you don't know what I'm going through. It's just sometimes it's best just to be quiet and listen to what they're going through as opposed to trying to relate if you can't. There are times when I need assurance that only God himself can provide. No human voice can speak to me in that moment. I need the still small voice of the Holy Spirit ministering to me in a way that only God can. Only Jesus is greater than any trial that we face, and thus we need to hear from him. Thankfully, this morning, there are blessings that belong to the child of God that can never be taken away. And because they have been given to us by God and not by this world, the world cannot take them from us. No matter how difficult Life becomes, these blessings remain and cannot be removed. And Peter reminds his readers of this with a healthy dose of encouragement. He reminds them of the blessings that they have in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you came into the sanctuary today and you're hurting, or you are going through a season of suffering or a testing of your faith, you need to understand that there are things that God has given to you that can never be taken away. The first thing that Peter mentions, number one, is a hope that is living. A hope that's living. Look at what he says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When the Bible speaks of hope, it means complete certainty. It is an anticipation with a complete confidence and assurance. The fact that this hope in the scriptures is referred to as living implies that not all hope is the same. Not all hope is living hope. There are many things that people place their hope in today that don't turn out the way they expect it to turn out. There are many things you can place your hope in this world that will leave you discouraged, that will leave you completely disillusioned. Time has a way of causing many earthly hopes to die. Do you know that to be true? Yet in contrast, the hope for the Christian doesn't die because it's living. I don't think that there's a man in here today, well, maybe one or two of you, but most of us, when you were a young boy, had a dream, had a hope of being an astronaut. My dad would come home from work and he would bring a huge box. Any of your dads ever give you a box to play with? Boxes are great. Forget Xbox. I'm talking cardboard box. It's a lot cheaper. He'd bring it home and we'd cut out a window and a door, put blankets in there and you know, color on it and draw it. And man, I was ready to blast off to the moon. Put a football helmet on. I am an astronaut, one small step. You know, I was feeling it. I'm going to the moon in this thing, man. But you get a little bit older, the hope begins to fade. The dream begins to die when you get on a merry-go-round and you get sick. Or you look at a merry-go-round going around and you get sick. Hope dies, you understand? The dream is over. I don't think there's a lady in here today. When you put on your first tiara, you had a vision, a dream. My prince is coming for me and we will live in a castle. Hope dies. For the child of God, this hope can never die. Because it's living. Notice who the provider of this hope is. It says the provider of this hope is our Father. And he has provided this living hope for us according to his abundant mercy. This living hope is recognized when a person, as Peter says here, is begotten. That is, born again. When a person comes to know Jesus, that is when they receive and experience this living hope that never dies. The Father is the provider of this living hope. But then we see the basis of our living hope. Our hope is recognized when we are born again. But look at the basis of the hope that we have that makes it living is this thing right here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead sets him apart from every other would-be, wannabe religious leader that has come in their own name and in their own power. You remember in John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, Jesus made his way to the town of Bethany. There was two sisters living there, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus had just died. And they invited Jesus to come. And as Jesus arrived there, there was much weeping and mourning over the death of Lazarus. And Jesus was approached by Martha. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus then responded to Martha and he said, "Martha, your brother will live again." And she said, "Lord, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection. Theologically, Lord, I understand exactly what you mean when you say that." But Jesus then added to that, and he said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what makes our hope living. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. You cannot deny it. It is in its favor. Someone said, "A living truth, there is more overwhelming evidence, positive and negative, factual and circumstantial, that no intelligent jury in the world examining the evidence could fail to pronounce a verdict that the resurrection story is absolutely, unequivocally, indisputably true." But it's more than a historical fact, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an essential, non-negotiable doctrine of the Christian faith. There are over 300 verses in the New Testament that directly deal with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The New Testament of your Bible preaches and proclaims a Jesus who was dead and is now alive. Not a Jesus who was alive and now dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christianity in which every biblical doctrine must be grounded. For without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, there's no reason to have another service. There's no reason to get up out of bed this morning. There's no reason to take your Bible for what it says if there is no resurrection. The Apostle Paul discussed and wrote clearly on the devastating effects of not having a resurrection truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what he said. Listen carefully. He said, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." I mean, think of the tragedy. If Christ isn't risen, we're a bunch of duped people. But then Paul goes on to say, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Because Jesus has conquered death through his resurrection, he promises that we too will conquer death. The last enemy, death, has been defeated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our hope is living. And that hope, no circumstance, no trial, no suffering, no present difficulty, even death itself, cannot rob you of this living hope. Nothing can take it away. That's why Job said, through all the suffering and hardship and pain that he endured, he said this, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at end on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me." We have a living hope today. Not only do we have a hope that is living, but secondly, Peter tells us we have an inheritance that is reserved. Look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." When we think of the word inheritance, we think of a person being included into the will of a family member. We have been adopted into a family. The Bible tells us that. We've been adopted into the family of God. We've been born again into this family. And as a result, We have an inheritance that is ours from our Father. And here Peter gives us a description of this inheritance we have. First of all, he tells us that our inheritance is incorruptible. It's a word meaning nothing can ruin it. It's not subject to corruption, decay, or disillusion. Absolutely nothing can ruin your inheritance that awaits you. It's incorruptible. Think of the things that you would value in this life, treasures that you have. Some of the things that you'd say, if my house was burning, I would definitely take this out. My children, my wife, yes, of course. But these other things that maybe you value, some material thing. Listen, those things, they'll grow corrupt. Every treasure that we could have in this life, eventually it will be corrupt in some way. But not your treasure in heaven, not your inheritance in heaven. Nothing can corrupt it. Nothing can defile it. That's the second thing. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. That means it's without contamination. Nothing can stain it. It's unpolluted. And he says it will not fade away. It will not lose its beauty. Nothing will cause it to wither or blight. And fourthly, he says, this inheritance that you and I have, it's reserved for you. The word reserved is an interesting word. It means it's guarded. You ever made a reservation only to arrive and find out it wasn't reserved? Well, in heaven, it's not going to be like that. It is reserved for you. It's protected. Nothing can take it away. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in the first chapter, he talked about this inheritance that we have. He said that it was guaranteed. Peter says it's reserved. Paul says it's guaranteed. He says that the Holy Spirit of promise is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Our inheritance is reserved. It is guaranteed. What is our inheritance? In verses 5 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1, our inheritance is referred to as our salvation. As believers, we are saved by grace through faith. But the completion of our salvation will take place when we see Jesus face to face in heaven. That's the completion of the salvation. I am saved. In fact, the Bible tells me that I'm seated in heavenly places right now. However, the completion of my salvation will come to pass when I see Jesus face to face in glory. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if we are children, then heirs. And if heirs, we are joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. My inheritance is reserved. My inheritance is guaranteed, and my inheritance means I'm a joint heir with Christ. What does that mean to be a joint heir with Christ? It means that everything that belongs to Jesus by divine right in eternity, he will share with us. He will allow us to enter into his inheritance. He will share it with us. The Bible says concerning our inheritance that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. One of the greatest parts of our inheritance is God himself. That's what makes our inheritance so wonderful, is the presence of God himself. The joy of being in the presence of God where his glory dwells. Hey, listen, heaven wouldn't be heaven if God wasn't there. Who cares about the streets of gold if God's not there? What's the big deal of the gates made of pearls if God's not there? What makes heaven heaven is the presence of God. It's a place where God himself, the Bible says, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. The former things have passed away. It's a place where God himself declares, listen, he makes all things new. God said, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts, and him who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is the beauty and the glory of our inheritance, God himself. That's why I believe the psalmist said in Psalm 16, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. The psalmist saw his inheritance as God himself. That's my inheritance, God. You could go on for hours. We won't, but you could, about all of the things that God has reserved for you and for me in heaven. But when you begin to think about our inheritance, my mind begins to reflect upon, what's God's inheritance? What does he get out of this deal? What's God get to inherit? I get him. What does he get? He gets you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that God's inheritance, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What does that mean? It means that the Lord's inheritance is his people. Doesn't that seem amazing? We get God, we get heaven, we get glory, he gets us. But what does that tell you? It tells you, and it tells me, that we are loved by God. If we only knew how much God loved us this morning, how much he cares for us. The Bible says that God numbers the very hairs of your head. That the thoughts that God thinks toward us this morning are more than can be numbered. They're more than the sand that's upon the sea. That's the good thoughts that God thinks about you this morning. If you only knew, if we only could grasp the love of God. The love of God. We are his inheritance. The psalmist, in thinking about this incredible way that somehow the body of Christ becomes the wealth, the source of God's wealth in eternity. I don't fully understand that. I just know that the Bible refers to it. The psalmist, thinking about God's love for him, he said, when I think about the heavens, the moon and the stars, when I consider the vast, glorious creation, you remember he said so profoundly, he said, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would even think about him? Lord, I can't even believe how much you think about me, how concerned you are about me. You remember David when he considered the overwhelming blessings that God gave unto him. He said, what is my house that you have brought me this far? You ever just said that to the Lord? Lord, who am I anyways? Lord, why would you love me the way that you do? Why would you bless me the way that you have? God is a loving God. You are loved by God. You have a hope this morning that is living because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No suffering, no trial can ever take that away from you. You have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled. It's reserved for you in heaven. It's waiting for us. Government can't tax it. The court can't steal it. It's there. Nobody can touch it. It'll be waiting for you when you arrive.
That is Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk, and we're going through 1 Peter right now. You can get the CD that contains what you heard and so much more for a cost of just $5. Either go to adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. By the way, our recent programs are accessible through our website at adailywalk.org. And you can hear Pastor John's messages shortly after they're delivered by getting our church app. It's free. Just type in CCSJC in the search bar to download our app and start listening to weekly teachings from Pastor John. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and Roku. Hey, Pastor John has a new podcast called Spread the Word. Help us spread the word by letting your friends and family know about it. And start listening today on your favorite platform. What is essential and what isn't? Our world and governing officials continue to debate about that. But as Christians, we know this. Jesus is essential. That message is portrayed on a new t-shirt we'd love to get into your hands. Wear it around town and it just may spark a conversation leading you to share the difference Jesus has made in your life. It's available for the cost of $15. Order it online at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. We are grateful to the Lord for those who come alongside of us with financial and or prayerful support. Though the impact of this radio ministry is hard to fully measure this side of heaven, we know the Lord is accomplishing a good work through His Word. We often hear of lives being touched by the work of the Spirit through the Word. If you'd like to take part in the ministry, please visit adailywalk.org today. And please email Pastor John and the team with any questions, prayer requests, or comments. We do want to hear from you. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. And did you know we have a TV ministry? Watch our weekly program on His Channel TV or on lightsource.com. It's available on demand. Just download the Light Source or His Channel TV apps and start watching today. We'll continue our study of 1 Peter next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. And may God richly bless you and strengthen you in your daily walk.